All right. Thanks, Luann. That was a lot of detail, hey? That's amazing. A lot of things happening around here. I'm so excited. I had so much fun last week. It was just such a great energy. And we had lots of people who came for their first time. We made an awesome first impression because we like gave them food and everything. So if you came back again this time, I'm sorry to disappoint you. We have cookies and such, but we don't necessarily have like burgers and hot dogs and all that kind of stuff. But we're glad if you were, that was your first Sunday. We're glad you're back. And definitely have some coffee as well as some snacks out in the lobby following the service. And just spend some time getting to know others and just getting to know who we are. And so, yeah, just glad that we could be able to do that. It was great to be able to enjoy the shade of the trees and just to be together again and to fellowship with one another. It was just awesome. So really enjoyed that. So we're going through the book of Acts, and we've been journeying for a long time, probably at least 19 weeks, because we're in Acts chapter 19, and we're taking it one chapter at a time and kind of skipping a lot of stuff that there is in Acts. So, you know, maybe we'll go through them again and pick different passages of Scripture within those chapters, not in the near future, but maybe down the road we'll do that. Because there's so much that we had to skip over in order to be able to emphasize just certain things. Because essentially you could spend weeks and weeks in just one chapter. And so we've decided to push through, to power through. And so there's a lot that you're missing. And so I would encourage you to read the book of Acts and just to know some of the things that happened in the early church. Because there's so many exciting things that happened in the early church. And it's such an encouragement. And there's so much to learn about what God did, what Jesus did, and what the Holy Spirit did through all of the apostles at that time, and how we've come to this church today in our faith today. And it's just incredible. So I'd encourage you to do that and dig a little deeper into the book of Acts than we're able to do on just our Sunday morning. So in Acts chapter 19, Paul is in Ephesus and faces challenges of people who don't fully know Jesus spiritually. There's a spiritual intensity around him and dynamics of power in that society that needed to be spoken into, and a demonstration of God's power to help others come to Jesus. So there's a really dynamic time in Paul's ministry in the city of Ephesus. And it's an incredible time that God just showed up and did all sorts of things through Paul and through his ministry. And it was absolutely incredible. And of course, God didn't just show up. God was already there. But God was through the Holy Spirit, making himself known to those people. And a lot of people came to know Jesus and heard the gospel in that time. So today's sermon is a mix of truth and points and those sorts of things, but also some reflective questions throughout. And then I'll have some reflective questions at the end, but just some things to kind of stimulate our thinking a little bit, because I find that questions are really important to stimulate my thinking. And do you ever have a conversation with somebody who asks a lot of questions? You're like, wow, that was a really good question. I'm going to think on that. Give me some time to process, right? Or sometimes you have just this time where you're doing your devotions, or you're kind of talking to God and you're reflecting, and suddenly you come up with some really good questions, and you're like, God, what about this? What about this? And so we're going to do a little bit of that reflection and intermix that a little bit. I'm not going to like pause and give you a whole bunch of time to be able to do it, but just some things to think about, and maybe you can write those down or put some notes into your phone. It's okay if you pull your phone out and you start typing. I won't assume that you're texting your buddy. It's okay. I know that phones are a big part of our life, and if you put your notes in your phone, you won't lose them, right? I write things down on sticky notes. I'm like, I don't know where I put it. I lost it. So sometimes I take a picture of sticky notes just so I don't lose it. Anyway, just a thought. So some reflection as well as some scripture and some truth throughout this sermon. So let's look at Acts chapter 19. We're going to begin at verse 1. And this is Paul in Ephesus. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured and evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you come out." 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. This is getting a little wild, hey? When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. And the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachma. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. After all this happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem, passing through Macedonia and Achaia. After I have been there, he said, I must visit Rome also. He sent 2 of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia while he stayed in the province of Asia a little longer. So the thing is, Ephesus was this city of absolute influence in that time. It was one of the most powerful cities in the world. It was the hub of world trade. There was a lot of money and culture and religious temples and politics and merchants and slaves. They had it all in Ephesus. It was a hub of activity. And Paul was there sharing the good news. And the thing is, when entering into a place of such importance and power, Paul would need to have confidence in the God of power through the Holy Spirit with him and be constantly aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit within his life. While Paul was in Ephesus, we read about just that he had power. There were powerful healings and people transformed and demon-possessed people delivered and religious leaders being attacked and people burning scrolls and all that glory of evil and sorcery within the city. It was an intense time in history and has repeated itself again and again in our world. And evil hasn't gone away. It still exists in our world. It takes its head out in different ways, doesn't it? We don't have to look far to see how evil is still lurking. But our focus, much like Paul's, is not on the evil, but on Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we downplay the work of the Holy Spirit, don't we? We downplay the Holy Spirit. And that's the thing with churches. Sometimes churches will emphasize God, their creator, or they'll emphasize Jesus, the Savior, or they'll emphasize the Holy Spirit who gives us all the power. And the thing is, each time those are overemphasized, it's neglecting the other. Because God is all three. We believe in a Trinitarian God. That means that God has 3 expressions, 3 distinct people. And so it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we believe that they are all one. They all are God in existence, God in expression. But they're all very different, aren't they? They all have different purpose within our lives and different ministry to us. And sometimes the Holy Spirit, we kind of neglect the Holy Spirit within our teachings. We neglect the Holy Spirit within our daily practice within our lives. And yet the Holy Spirit is so important within our lives. And so with these new disciples in Ephesus, we see how they had John's baptism and they were preaching repentance. They didn't really even seem to know Jesus. And yet they're believers, right? So they're almost Christian, but not quite Christian. They're like religious, but not really with Jesus. And then they receive the Holy Spirit. And then it says that they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Now, here's the thing. That doesn't mean that you have to be able to do that in order to say that you have the Holy Spirit, because it is not the sign of the Holy Spirit. It is a sign of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, it's the Bible talks about how the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that tongues is the least of the gifts. And so why do we sometimes emphasize that, oh, you need to be able to speak in tongues? Well, we don't necessarily emphasize that within our church, but there are churches that emphasize that. And there a lot of churches are moving away from that because they're recognizing that a lot of people are kind of just mimicking it. And so they're moving away from that. And so that is a way that the Holy Spirit expresses himself through our lives. But that is only one of the many ways to be able to hear. We talk about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all those sorts of things, right? Which are a lot more subtle. And then we have the gifts of the Spirit, which might be things like prophecy, might be things like even wisdom or generosity, those sorts of things that happen within our lives. But the fact of the matter is the Holy Spirit empowers us and indwells us and expresses himself through us in ways that are hard to explain, hard to understand. And yet we receive those gifts from God. And so sometimes even in Ephesus, we read about there were these huge miracles that happened and people were being healed just by a handkerchief or an apron that had touched Paul. And it's like, why don't we have that today? Well, some people have tried to be able to do that and made a lot of money off of it, but that's not authentic, is it? And this is for a time and for a place with Paul, and it happened. And it was absolutely incredible. But sometimes we over-spiritualize what the Holy Spirit can do, and sometimes we under-spiritualize what the Holy Spirit can do, and sometimes we absolutely pretend that the Holy Spirit doesn't even exist within our lives or in our church or in our communities, and yet he does. He does. And as we reflect on the Holy Spirit, as we reflect on how the Holy Spirit impacts our own lives, as you reflect on how the Holy Spirit impacts your life, because we believe in Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, what difference does the Holy Spirit make in your life? There's the first reflection question for you. What difference does the Holy Spirit make in your life? Have you experienced dynamic times, an overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit within your life? Have you experienced times where there's a gifting that you're like, I can't really explain how I can do this, but I can do this. I can't really explain why I have this passion and this calling in my life, but I do. Friends, that's the work of the Holy Spirit within your life. So what difference has the Holy Spirit made in your life? For some of us, we might say, well, I don't really notice any difference. For some of us, it's the Holy Spirit helps me to live a holy life, or the Holy Spirit helps me to be more disciplined in my life, or the Holy Spirit guides me in my life. Or maybe the Holy Spirit gives me hope that I just can't explain, but he does. And there's a lot more ways and expressions of the Holy Spirit that you can see within your life. But just think about that. What difference has the Holy Spirit made in your life? And secondly, how do I know when I'm acting in the Holy Spirit? That's the other thing we need to ask, isn't it? Because sometimes we think we're acting in the Holy Spirit and we're like, why is there no fruit in what I'm trying to do? I thought if I'm following the Holy Spirit and I'm acting in the Holy Spirit, there should be fruit involved. Well, the thing is, I know I'm acting in the Holy Spirit when, first of all, there is fruitfulness in what I'm doing, whatever that looks like. And it is always biblical. The Holy Spirit will never lead us in a path that is unbiblical, just so you know. If it's counter to the Bible, it is not the Holy Spirit that is leading you into it. When I'm walking with the Holy Spirit and I'm acting in the Holy Spirit, there's a resonance with other believers around me. And we kind of sense, yeah, that is the Holy Spirit speaking to us and through us, isn't it? And there's a peace instead of an anxiety and an anger. That's the thing. When the Holy Spirit is with you, there's no fear. There's no anxiety. It's just peace. There's no anger. There's joy and there's peace. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, friends. And at the core of it all, the action of the Holy Spirit that is working your life, the core of it all is love. God is love. And so there needs to be love within the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so those are ways to be able to test, okay, is the Holy Spirit leading me? How is the Holy Spirit leading me? How is the Holy Spirit wanting me to act in certain situations? Well, love should be at the core. So in Ephesus, there seemed to be some gaps in what people believed and even what people knew about Jesus. And it's like they didn't have the whole story, the rest of the story. You remember that guy, Paul Harvey? Paul Harvey, where he would give you a commonly known story and he would introduce it and then he would give you a whole bunch of more information and background and he said it in such a way that he was such an effective communicator that you're like, I can't not listen to this guy. And he would give you a whole bunch of historical facts and narrative and then he would end it off with this famous line, and now you have the rest of the story. Now, if you're under the age of 50, you might even not know who Paul Harvey is. He was on the radio. Remember the radio? but chances are you might have heard his voice. You might have heard some of his stories. But it was as if people in Ephesus needed a Paul Harvey to help them know the full story, the rest of the story about Jesus and about the Holy Spirit. And while Paul would have been encouraged that people were following Jesus, he again, similar to, remember Apollos from last week, who was a very educated man, but just didn't really know the Holy Spirit, didn't really know Jesus and needed more to be explained to him. And here Paul is having to do this with the people of Ephesus. And there were Christians who did not know the fullness of Jesus and what they were teaching and preaching. And they had to receive the Holy Spirit within their lives to be able to fully understand and to have all of the truth. All of the truth that we have God, the Creator, the Father, wisdom and control. And this is an image that a lot of us think we have this wise old dude with a big beard sitting on a throne, right? Is that the image of God that you have? And he has a really deep voice and a hint of judgment in it and all the power. And you fear him and you're scared of him, right? Or is he a cool dad who likes to laugh and have fun? And he kind of gets a kick out of our quirky personalities. Well, maybe a little bit of both. Maybe a little bit of both. And when you think about it, too, is like if he's an old guy with a beard, chances are he's not the father. He's the grandfather. Right? I mean, yeah, he's our father. So he might not have a gray beard. Maybe it's a dark colored beard. Maybe he didn't gray like I've grayed and some of us have grayed. Maybe he doesn't even have a full head of hair. Who knows? Right? But here's what we know. Here's what Scripture tells us is that he's good. God is good. Okay. Well, if God is good, then he's not this distant guy sitting on a throne. He might be a little more personal. He's fair. He's always fair. It doesn't seem like it's life is fair, but God is fair. He is love. Wow. We say that, but do we really believe it? Do we really know it in our heart of hearts that God is love? Because here's the thing, if we really believe that God is love, then we know he is safe. When you think of God, do you think that he is safe? He's a safe God. Safe that we can approach him no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been. And he meets us with fairness, but he also meets us with grace, with love. Friends, that's the God that we can imagine within our lives. That is a part of the truth, the whole story of Jesus, the whole story of God. And then we have Jesus, the Son, our Savior, our friend. I was listening to a devotion just yesterday and just imagining, and it was this beautiful moment where it said, take in your surroundings and look around where you are. And it was a nice morning. It was beautiful yesterday for most of it. And I was sitting on my back deck and just looking at the trees and everything. And then it said, imagine Jesus walking into your space. And I imagined him entering in my yard after he could figure out how to open the gate. How would you greet Jesus? If Jesus came into your space physically, how would you greet each other? Because you would recognize him. And he would recognize you and you would know each other. Well, how do you greet a good friend? And I just imagine myself embracing Jesus and greeting Jesus and sitting together and talking and catching up. Friends, isn't that a beautiful image of God within our lives? And that's what Jesus provides for us. He is a brother. He is a friend. How would we greet him? And then we have this Holy Spirit, which is a little hard to wrap our minds around because it's this intangible presence of the Holy Spirit. And yet there's this power and this empowerment and this sensing that we have of the Holy Spirit within our lives. It gives us insights and words and understandings that we're like, well, where'd that come from? And it's absolutely incredible. We encounter the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit within our lives. And it's absolutely beautiful because when we have the Spirit, We have God the Father. We have God the Son in our lives. And it's incredible. And so we think about how sometimes within our lives and within our processing, we have these missing pieces within our belief system. We have these missing pieces within our information. Each part of truth and faith and life and spiritual power pieces together to develop our faith. And when our faith in God starts, it's like we have this brand new puzzle in a box. And it's thousands of pieces and we dump it out on the table. I don't like puzzles. They frustrate. I'm just not patient enough for a puzzle. And each new day in our faith journey is placing a piece of that puzzle in place. And the thing is, the puzzle is never completed until we enter eternity. But each piece, good, bad, ugly, hard, fun, celebration, discouragement, is a part of that puzzle that we piece together of our faith in Jesus, in our life in Jesus and following God. And what pieces of growth in my faith have not been placed yet? It might be grief. It might be a struggle. It might be an addiction within your life. It might be a wound from your childhood or a wound from more current in your life. It might be resistance to wholeness. It might be relationships that get in the way. It might be relationships that are strained or need reconciliation. Whatever it is, that's a piece of your puzzle that needs to be placed in that puzzle as God puts together your life and guides you within your life. Because you see, life is a learning journey. Life is a learning journey. And that's the thing, that the puzzle is never complete and we're never done learning and growing and changing. And neurologists and scientists would say that the human brain can always learn and grow and has an elasticity within it to be able to learn new things. Now, sometimes we can learn the same things over and over again, depending on how old we are, right? But we can constantly learn new things. And we need to be challenging our brains to be able to learn new things and to be able to solve new puzzles, or sometimes even the same types of puzzles. And there's all these sorts of scientific things and encouragements for people who have aging brains to be able to do different activities, to be able to keep their brains active. And that's true for all of us. We need to continually be learning and stretching and having certain levels of change and challenge within our lives so that the muscle that is our brain, it expands and is continually strengthened. And that's the same with our faith. It never stops growing and developing and learning. And there's, I don't know about you, but a lot of times I find that my faith kind of ebbs and flows a little bit. It's not that I lose my faith, but it just, there's times where it just feels dynamic and it feels exciting and it feels like life is on fire. And then other times it's like, kind of feels like a little candle that's just about to burn out, right? And we have these times, and sometimes we're doing all the right things and yet we feel just kind of disconnected, a little bit empty and a little bit weak within our faith. And that's why it's called faith, is that not something that we always feel, but something that we believe in even when we don't feel it. Because there's a discipline, there's a faithfulness that we need to have within our faith. But even if we're like, I just have more questions than answers. I'm like, I just need to be away for a little bit. And then we just kind of get doing other stuff and then we never get back to it. And that's happened for a lot of people. Or we can say, you know what, I have so many questions. I'm looking for answers. How do I be in a safe place right now as my faith is a little more fragile than it used to be? And maybe there's ways that I can grow, ways that I can be strengthened by other people and strengthened by God as I read His Word. Because the thing is, faith and faithfulness requires, it's a long haul, friends. It's a long haul. Our life is short, but at the same time, it feels long at times, doesn't it? And there's a long haul of faith and faithfulness that we need to have within our lives to be able to be encouraged, to learn more about God, to learn more about what He's doing in my life and around me, and to be faithful in it. And sometimes it's just being present, and that God is always present, and that we need to be present to God. The ministry of presence to others also is important, and just kind of being in the room and sometimes just listening and entering into other people's world. That's all presence, isn't it? And it all helps us develop in our faith and to be strengthened in our faith even when we feel weak. Because even a candle
can light up a room. And the thing is, as we put more fuel into our faith, what happens is the candle burns brighter and it might get bigger. And it's an absolutely beautiful thing of how God works in our lives as we recognize His presence in our lives, and we are present for Him and present with others. But there's also a consistency that is required within our faith journey, isn't there? There's a consistency. Now, sometimes it's daily moments with God. Now, I know some of you are absolutely disciplined in this, and I admire that. You get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning and do like 2 hours of study. No, probably not many people do that, but that'd be incredible, wouldn't it? For me, I'm not a disciplined person, but I try to be consistent and to be intentional within my devotional life. So I'm not the one who gets up at the crack of dawn. I do on Sunday mornings, but it's hard. It's really hard for me. But I do it for you guys because I love you. And I want to be ready and I want to give you some good words, right? So, but there's those daily moments with God that we just need to, sometimes we crave it. Sometimes we're like, eh, come on. And sometimes we're like, okay, I'll squeeze this in. But whatever we do, to be faithful in it, to be consistent in having time with God. Because you think about it, if you want to cultivate relationship with somebody, what do you need to do? You got to spend time with them. You got to learn from them. You got to share with them and cultivate relationship. And that's what's required for us to be able to be consistent, to be strengthening our faith in Jesus Christ and listening to the Holy Spirit. But also being a person and a presence of peace in our surroundings. And that's the thing, as we're closer to God, what we find is that we can be a person of a non-anxious presence. We can be a person of peace in our surroundings. And sometimes we're like, wow, I can get little nuggets of wisdom sometimes. And people are asking me questions and I have answers for them sometimes. And that's incredible. Or sometimes there's just a caring aspect to how we interact with others in our workplace, in our schools, in our community. Even sometimes in our home. And the thing is, we're like, okay, this seems a little bit unnatural to me, but sometimes when we're leaning into the Holy Spirit, when we're paying attention to the Holy Spirit, when we're cultivating our relationship with God and the Holy Spirit, what happens is we have this unnatural ability that becomes more natural because of the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And friends, it's quite fun. That's what Paul did. That's what the apostles did, is they listened to the Holy Spirit and they were able to do things and go to places and say words and interact with people that always surprised them. And yet they recognized, wow, there is something that I can do that I wouldn't normally do if I didn't have the Holy Spirit with me. And what happens is there's this persistence that happens, that there's a faithful and faithfulness to God's work and His mission. And the thing is, in that persistence, we find that, okay, I did my devotions for like 3 days in a row. Why has nothing really changed? Right? Well, the thing we know about God is that the journey always takes a little bit longer. Do you remember being a kid and going on a car ride and going on your vacation? You're like, I just want to get to that motel with the pool. And you're like, when are we going to be there? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Maybe you heard your kid say that. I know I said that as a kid. And it always felt like the journey was longer than I wanted to. And that's the thing with our lives, is that we need to be persistent. We need to have some patience, right? To be able to say, okay, God, you're working in my life. I want to give you time. I want to invest in my relationship with you. And then you suddenly see some growth and it's slow. Sometimes it's a little bit faster. And then sometimes it peters off a little bit and it ebbs and flows. But it's an absolutely beautiful experience when we have that persistence of our faith and growing our faith in Jesus. And as we do that, suddenly we recognize and we realize, wow, I have a sense of purpose that I never had before. You see, at Grace Point, our mission is to help people know Jesus, be transformed by Jesus, and to live out faith in real life. So this mission is short and long, right? It's short term, but it's also long term, with faithfulness and perseverance as individuals and as a community in journeying in our faith. And so there's a purpose that we have that goes beyond ourselves as we develop our relationship with God. And we think, wow, the apostles, they had it easy. They knew what was going on. Well, the thing is, friends, we're all called to be disciples of Jesus. We're all called to be sharing the gospel with other people in our lives. How do we do that? How do we minister? How do we be on God's mission? How do we help people know Jesus, be transformed by Jesus? Not just what we do as a church on Sunday. It's what we do as individuals in our lives. And how are we doing that within our daily lives? Well, that's the work of God in our lives. As we persevere in our faith, as we develop our faith, soon He reveals that purpose within our lives and our mission. Let's talk a little bit about the miraculous powers for a second, because those are pretty incredible. And it's pretty exciting, right? You're like, Dave, talk about the miracles. We want to hear about the miracles. We want to hear about all the dynamic things that happened. Bring us some context. And we can't ignore the amount of Holy Spirit power working through Paul in this time. And the Holy Spirit was demonstrating power that was bringing glory to God. And people were coming to faith. And people were learning about Jesus. And it was absolutely incredible. And here's the thing. The nature of God's power is that it is indeed powerful. It's good. It's fair. It's loving. That sounds like a lot like the Father, doesn't it? But it's also the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then there's dynamics of power in not over others, but to empower others. Now, it's power over evil, absolutely. But not power over people. Not power over people. And sometimes we get that a little bit mixed up, don't we? You see, our role in power is to receive the power and to channel the power, but only for the glory of God. Only for the glory of God. Not the control of people. And then there was this thing where there was a bumping into the enemy, I call it. Just bumping into the enemy. Now, there were Jewish leaders, seven sons of Sceva. The thing is, Sceva was not known as a high priest. And so they might have been absolute just imposters of the whole thing. So that's what some scholars have said about this particular line within there. But they were trying to battle evil powers in Jesus' name and in Paul's name. But they didn't know them because they didn't know Jesus. They might have known Paul. They might have known Paul's message. But they didn't really know Jesus. And to recognize the dynamics of good and evil in the world is to not only in the news, but we see what is underneath. Not just the bad news that we read on web apps or in the newspaper, for those who still get the newspaper, but what's underneath? What's really happening in the soul of our society? And friends, that's where the Holy Spirit dwells. That's where the Holy Spirit speaks to us and through us, is the soul of society, not just the facts of society. But there is a battle of good and evil in our world. It is real, and it's not necessarily around every corner, but it's in our culture, it's much more subtle. But it seems like the bad often gets the upper hand, doesn't it? Especially when you read the news or you hear about things that are happening in your community or things that are happening within the city of Edmonton or even the country or even North America or even the world. It's just like, wow, I'm really sad. I feel really bad about what's happening in the world. And it feels like evil continues to win over and over and over. Over. And I'm not trying to be negative here, but it just kind of feels that way, doesn't it? Anyone feel encouraged when they read the news? I think they rescued some puppies. That's always good news. Doesn't really change the world. But for the puppies, it was nice, right? But here's the thing, friends. When we're Christians, we understand that when we read the news, when we hear about all the bad news, here's what we remember. Good wins in the end. Good wins in the end. That where there's all these violence and wars and injustice and disparity and victimizing, these demonstrations of evil, it all fades. It all ends at some point. And this week I had an interesting experience where I went to a place with some motorcyclists. So it's always interesting. And so I went there, and it's this very diverse crowd, and there were about probably over 1,000 motorcycles just in this parking lot at this restaurant. And they had what's called a burnout competition. And so what they do is they take their motorcycles, and they're probably ready to change tires. And so what they do is they pull it up to a concrete barrier, and then they put it in gear, and they start to spin their back tire, and they spin it, and there's all kinds of smoke, and it's really toxic and everything, and there's big smoke, and people are cheering, and it's exciting, and there's music, and I'm like, this seems silly, but I love it. And then they keep spinning it until you hear this pop, and their tire popped, and that's and then everybody cheers. And then they're like, and then they declare a winner at the end. I'm like, I have no idea how a person wins. I think it's just so that, okay, you didn't crash. No one got hurt. And you popped a tire and made lots of smoke. I think that's how they win it. But I have no idea. But it was just kind of fun to be there. And there was this crowd around me. I think I followed in some people who are part of a motorcycle gang. And there's organized crime people there. There's all kinds of things. There's a very diverse crowd there. And you're like, our pastor should not be there. Right? I know what you're thinking. I was meeting some friends and we ride motorcycles together and we just wanted to be in a fun place. And here's the thing. As I walked around there, I'm like, wow, I really feel out of place. I do. But at the same time, I was like, but God, I sense that you're here as well, because there is no place where you are not. And God, there are people who are held captive in this place, captive by addictions, captive by crime, captive by wanting to belong into a group that is not looking out for their benefit. They're in organized crime. And I felt this sense of just burden and sadness, but also this sense of hope that, God, you are here. You're working in these people's lives. And instead of just judging others, and instead of just thinking, wow, this is a silly experience, thinking, God, how are you at work in their lives? What are you doing? And I didn't really get some tangible answers, but I had some, you know, fun conversations about motorbikes and those sorts of things. And it was this experience where we can go into these places, we can be in situations that might make us uncomfortable, but at the same time, God is with us. And we can pray, God, liberate those who are held captive by evil. Liberate those who are held captive by evil. And it's not that everyone there was evil. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I met some Christian friends there too. And it was a good time. We had a great time. But sometimes we need to ask ourselves, God, how are you working in that person's life? How can I join you in it? How are you liberating those who are captive, held captive? Because there is a power. You see, God's love reckons with power, right? Whether it's good power or bad power, God's love will reckon with that power. If it's not today, it might be tomorrow. It might be in eternity. But God's love reckons with power. And that's a statement that I borrowed from my friends Matt and Ben, who wrote a book. And one of the chapters was on that, and I preached on that a couple of years ago. And you can look back in our YouTube channel if you want to read it. But N.T. Wright says, there must be nothing second to the Spirit's power when you are faced with the powers of the world. And I would say the powers of evil. So there's nothing second to the Spirit's power, the Holy Spirit's power, when we're faced with the powers of the world. Friends, instead of just being discouraged, instead of reading the news, instead of facing some of the evil within the world, we can lean on the Holy Spirit to help us with it. And then we can ask, what difference does the Holy Spirit make in my life? And what difference is the Holy Spirit making around me? Because sometimes there's a spiritual intensity. And we read about in this chapter alone, there was a spiritual intensity that happened as there were people being delivered by demons. And the people who were sensing that there was a power in the Holy Spirit, a power in Jesus, a power in God. And they were like, I fear this. And they were seized by fear of God. And I think sometimes within our lives, we're seized by fear of evil. And we kind of practice and we live and we lean into the fact that we're losing. The church is in decline. We no longer hold positions of power in our government. But the thing is, we know that in the end, evil wins, right? And God never asked us to be in control over people and over countries, but he did ask us to steward his control within our lives, right? And when it comes to some of the evil things in the world, sometimes we get caught up in things like, and maybe we've seen too many like horror movies when we were kids or whatever, and we're like, oh, there's this evil and the demons and all that kind of stuff. And I remember Erwin McManus telling about a story about his daughter who went to kids camp, and she had nightmares at night and wasn't able to sleep after she came home from kids camp because, you know, at Christian kids camp, like a regular kids camp, you tell ghost stories. At Christian kids camp, you tell demon stories because it's just a little scarier, right? And then kids have a hard time sleeping, but they behave, right? And so Irwin's daughter, you know, she was crying and she was like, Dad, just pray that demons will leave me alone and that I'll never have to face this. And she's like, no, I won't do that. She's like, what? Come on. That's mean. He said, no, I'm going to pray that you're so close to Jesus that when you enter a room, that the power of the Holy Spirit is sensed so much that evil will flee the room. Friends, that is a story of empowerment, isn't it? The empowerment of the Holy Spirit, because we need to understand God is more powerful. And I remember telling my kids at night when they would have fears and those sort of things, I would talk about how big God is. I would say, God is so big. Like you look up into the sky and you see the stars. God created that. And you look at how big the world is. God created that. And you look beyond what you can even see and God created that. He is so big. But you know what else? He's also safe. He's so big. He's so powerful. But he's also safe because God is love. And so there's dynamics of power in our world. And our world is hungry for power. And it makes us feel safe and secure when we have power. And when we don't have power, we feel insecure and unsafe, don't we? And we often think that power, that the power that God has given us is to control the behavior of society, when really it is to love and to serve individuals in society, following the example of Jesus, and to love them into the kingdom of God. When you look at Jesus, how did he steward his power? He could have called angels down from heaven. He could have been a world leader. But he resisted all that earthly power because his focus was on eternity. And we're eternally focused people, aren't we? And anytime we experience empowerment or position or power, we're challenged in our character as to what we will do with that power. And we all have some form of power within our lives. How are we stewarding it? How is God leading us in stewarding the power that we have? And that's how God loves reckons with power. God entrusts us with power to steward in our lives, to bring justice, to bring peace, and to love. That's the intent of his power. And then there's also the character. When we sense that we have the power in our lives, whatever it might be, do we have the depth of faith and character to steward that power for God's purpose and to give God the glory? Because that's the important thing about the power of the Holy Spirit within our lives. That is the core of the Holy Spirit within our lives. The Holy Spirit empowers us not so that we can just do whatever we want. Holy Spirit empowers us so that we can glorify God, so that we can bring others into his kingdom, so that we can share the good news, so that we can do the work of Jesus and be the presence of Jesus in other people's lives. So a few reflection questions for us as we close our time today. Am I living in the whole story of the gospel? The whole story of the gospel. Do I have it all? Do I know it all? I think most of us do, but are there parts that are missing within it that I'm not really living out? Do I recognize God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in my life? All three of them. Do I recognize them? Are they balanced a little bit? Thirdly, how can I cultivate a more Spirit-filled life? And fourthly, how do I recognize the power of God in and around me? And what do I see as I recognize the power around me? Let's pray together. God, as we contemplate the transformational power of your Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just help us to really seek your Spirit within our lives. Help us to recognize you as our Creator, our Father. You as our Savior, our Friend, but also you as the empowerment that lives within us. Lord, help us to be good stewards. Help us to recognize your Holy Spirit within our own lives. And Lord, to be on your mission and your purpose. Lord, that we would not be keeping it to ourselves, but that we would invite others into experiencing your power and your presence. Lord, we thank you for this passage, which just seems so dynamic and wild, and yet, Lord, when we put it in the context of your word, the context of your story, God, we recognize that there is so much to believing in you. And so, Lord, help us as we recognize your Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Lord, that we cultivate Spirit-filled lives as we build our relationship with you. That God, you would deepen our faith, deepen our sensitivity to you. so that, Lord, you would lead us into encounters and situations and places even to bring your presence, to bring your peace, to bring your love.